been going through the Beatitudes on Sunday evening from Jesus' sermon that he delivered from the mountain. And by the way, I need, before I forget the announcement, Chris is speaking next Sunday night in our assembly, so I'll lead the singing for him, Dennis, just to let you know. Lord willing, if I'm here. But
did Chris know?
Does Chris know? Yeah, I just told him. Mentioned it to him.
Okay.
On the Beatitudes, so going back, this is number 8. I think back, just when announcing, we'll start a series of lessons on the Beatitudes, and now we're on the last one, number 8. And I'll, I think I'll do one more just to kind of a summary in October. But the first one, you'll blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are they that mourn. That be comforted. Be sorry for your sins. You mourn for that. The meek inherit the earth. Hunger and thirst. You have an opportunity to be filled. Merciful. Be merciful. They'll obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They see God. Last week's the peacemakers. Be called sons of God. So tonight, at the top of your notes, according to the verses 10 through 12, there's two blessings. And then, let me just read. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So you see, I've divided into three main sections. The first one is just the blessing when these things happen, and those are the persecutions that are in the verse. And then the second, there's a blessing when we're persecuted for the right reason. And then the last, the blessing is to rejoice because of the reward or what's in it for us. So those three sections give us the lesson this evening. Jesus in this beatitude is forewarning his followers that one characteristic of being in the kingdom, being a child of God or being a Christian, that you have to be ready and willing to endure persecution. Ready and willing. And we're talking about preventive medicine or just things in forethought. Plan ahead. That's what Jesus is saying here. He said, if you're going to follow me, anticipate some things. It mentions for righteousness' sake and for his sake in the notes. And Jesus was already, I think, setting the example for this, or about to set the example. He just healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. And in Mark 3, verse 6, the Pharisees went forth, straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, that they might destroy him. Wow. Jesus, all you did was heal the man on the Sabbath. In Luke 16, verse 14, these are some of the introduction in my notes that I didn't put in yours. But in Luke 16, verse 14, the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. So Jesus says, you can expect some persecution. It's happened to me. It'll happen to you when you follow me. So in the Beatitude, Jesus plainly signifies those in the kingdom, you're going to encounter some opposition. Righteousness has its foes or its enemies. There's always an antagonism between the opposites, the good and the evil, the truth and the error, the right and the wrong, Jesus and Satan. Yeah, there's going to be some expectations of hardships. We need to maintain a firm stand for righteousness, and at the same time expect persecution in some form. So now Jesus gives in this last beatitude some words of encouragement for us to stay steady, stay on the right side. Number one, I broke the beatitude down in three main sections. First of all, there's a blessing when these things happen. What's going to happen?
Persecuted?
Definition, you know, when I've used definitions, I like them because they not only define the word, but they express the application many times.
Persecuted means to pursue or follow after, to afflict or harass constantly so as to injure or cause distress. It's cruel, it's troublesome, annoying, it's always determined by actions. Persecution, it's an action against us, or those of us who follow Jesus. Persecution, so this is going to happen. Next, he had revile and persecute you. King James has the word reproach. It means to accuse or blame. So here's an expectation. To discredit, to defame or disparage us, to lower the esteem one has for another, so that the purpose of that reproach or reviling. Their words, they're not going to beat us with a stick in this persecution, but they're words that are used to knock down your opponent. That's what that word revile or reproach means. Use my words to knock you over or to impugn one's motives. So now the persecution is an attack with words against us. Jesus said, expect that. The last one, say all manner of evil against you falsely. I put him mudslinging, to surmise, to accuse with no evidence of support, malicious, evil speaking, backbiting, and it's when done, when it's accusing against us falsely, so they're going to accuse us, it's going to be misleading, deceptive, a sham, bogus, not true, dishonest. So Jesus says there's some expectations, but there's a blessing. Now we need to know what that is. The second section is a blessing when you're persecuted for the right reason. For the right reason. Two things. We're persecuted for righteousness. Jesus says, for righteousness' sake and for my sake. Two things. The first thing is righteousness. By definition, you're going to be persecuted for doing right. The definition of righteousness is in the word itself. Right. Do right. It's that which conforms to the revealed will of God. Right. Whatever has been appointed by God to be acknowledged and obeyed by men. Jesus says you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, for staying on God's side. There's a persecution or a reproach or reviling for letting people know to whom you belong. Yep. For the right reasons. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. I didn't put that one in your notes. Under that point number two. Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? Jesus answered him and said, Oh, allow it to be so now, for thus it becomes to fulfill all righteousness. I'm here to have to be baptized because it's the right thing to do. So then he allowed him. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Heavens were opened, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him, voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. There's also an interesting phrase for consideration for definition. In Matthew 21, verse 32. It says, Matthew 21, verse 32, John came to you, it says, in the way of righteousness. See, righteousness is a way. It's a behavior. It's something you do. It's doing that which is right, that which is designed by God for us. And then I put in your notes, Psalm 119, 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. In Hebrews 5, verse 13, put that one in your notes either. I have more notes than you do. In Hebrews 5, verse 13, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So when Jesus says you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, you're going to be persecuted for following the word of God, for doing what God says, for his message. Don't Peter said, don't suffer as a murderer or a thief, suffer as a Christian for doing that which is right. And then, so we know for righteousness' sake. Then the second sake is, it says, for my sake. My sake. So now we identify ourselves with Jesus. We let others, like I said, know to whom we belong, on whose side we stand. And when we do that, we invite the opposition to throw the darts. Remember that opposite? The right doesn't like wrong. Or wrong doesn't like right. Good and bad. Jesus and Satan. In John 15, verses 18 through 21. I just put that for your note. But here's what it says. Jesus said, if the world hates you, I want you to know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, and I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So Jesus says, for my sake, there's going to be persecution. Remember the word that I said to you, the verse continues. The servant is not greater than the Lord. They persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep your also. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake. But we were persecuted for the right things. For the sake of righteousness. Righteousness' sake. And Jesus says, for my sake. My sake. I put in your notes, too, in Matthew 10:22. You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. So we have the first two notes in this lesson in breaking down the Beatitude. There's a blessing, Jesus said, when these things happen. All the hardship, the troubles, the trials, the persecution, the revile, the reproach. There's a blessing. All but when it's second point, when it's done for the right purpose. When you're being persecuted for the right reason. Then number three. Here's the reasons to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And that's what he closes with. He wants to give us a word of encouragement. Right? Those opening phrases, wait a minute. Persecuted? Revile? Reproach? That doesn't sound good. They're going to speak evil against me? And falsely? Wow. Give me some encouragement. Here it is. For there, first of all, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So persecution for the right reasons identifies us with the kingdom. Persecution for righteousness drives us closer to God as a refuge, I would hope. And then we value the blessing. Why would I value persecution? Oh, because I'm persecuted for the right reason, but I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sake and for his sake. Then number two, he says, for great is your reward in heaven. Now there's an eternal view that moves us to be steadfast. An eternal view. We talked about this one in our Bible class lesson this morning in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. So for which cause we faint not. All those words of encouragement that he listed first. He says, so for this cause we faint not. Outward man perishes. Inward man's renewed day by day. Our light affliction. And it's for a moment. Oh, but it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So we don't look at the things that are seen, we look at the things which are not seen. Because the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen, oh, that's eternity. Eternal. So for great is your reward in heaven. So that encourages us to stay on the right side and overcome the hardships, the persecution. And then there's more. In 1 Peter 1, verse 4, to an inheritance, reward. An inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. They do it for a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Crown. The crowns that are mentioned in the Bible, I listed four of them for you. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, henceforth, you know what, I've kept the fight, finished the faith, finished the course. Yeah. Henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, not to me only, but to all those who will love his appearing. Crown of righteousness. James 1, verse 12, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. 1 Peter 5, verse 4, chief shepherd will appear, and you'll receive the crown of glory that fades not away. So you have an incorruptible crown, crown of righteousness, crown of life, crown of glory. And then the last one, he says, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So I want to be glad. I'm not in this alone. So I just put in your notes, the persecution is not new. You're not alone in this. Others have been where you now stand. Persecution is not a mark of God's disfavor, nor evidence of defeat. How's that? All the prophets. I'll list a couple of them for you. Jeremiah 20, verse 1 and 2. They heard that this man Pashur heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. So then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet, put him in stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Jeremiah, how's that preaching working out for you? It's bringing out persecution. They smote me. They put me in stocks and then in a pit. In 2 Chronicles 24, verse 20, Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people. Zechariah said to them, thus saith the Lord, why transgress you the commandment of the Lord? You can't prosper. Because you've forsaken the Lord, he's forsaken you. Well, Jeremiah, preach it, brother. But I'd duck. I think I'd get out of the way. Sure enough, they conspired against him, stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Preaching? I'm glad that's not what happens today. Well, at least not to me right now. And then you think about the New Testament church in Acts 7, verse 59. They stoned Stephen. Now, you think there's persecution? They persecuted the prophets before you? Acts 8, verse 1, Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, Saul was consenting unto his death, meaning Stephen. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Persecution. Acts 12, verse 1, at that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex, good King James word, to vex certain of the church. He killed James the brother of John with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, apprehended him, and put him in prison. Acts 14, verse 22, he confirmed the souls of the disciples, Paul and Silas, exhorted them to continue in the faith, and said that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 29, because to you it's been granted, I wish you hadn't said that, it's been granted in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer in his behalf. Thought Christianity was going to be easy? Maybe in some places, but there's an expectation that people aren't going to always appreciate us standing for the right. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 4, we told you beforehand that we are to suffer affliction. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, ye all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Revelation, this is the last one. Revelation 6, verse 9, I know you're going to suffer through this. Part of your trouble and trial is to listen to everything I have to say. So Revelation 6, verse 9, I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. So all back to the beginning, huh? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are you when they revile, persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake.
For great is your reward in heaven. So hang in there. Stay. Last. So that's the lesson. You're subject to the invitation. If you've not been baptized for remission of sins, you had that opportunity. You need to ask brethren for strength or encouragement or prayers. We can also accomplish that. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song Dennis has selected for us. I've got the number
945. Kneel at the cross.
Kneel at the cross. Hold up and we'll lead that song. So again, we need to respond in a quick way. If that's your resolve, that's your desire, simply let it be known at the close of this song.